out there, everybody, and thank y'all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And I'm not alone. I'm not at the helm by myself. Joining me today, the King of Cold Water, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. I do have my glass of cold water right here.
It's funny, for a man that drinks as much, don't bathe as often as you do.
That's true. I don't like bathing. I like to lay in my own
like
filth.
A cat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was. I got up early today and was mowing the yard and. I can't believe that I have to mow my yard in August. And like normally it's burnt brown and nothing is growing.
It's just dust.
We got rain 2 days ago, like an inch or two.
Oh, it's crazy.
I don't remember the last end of July where we had actual rain, but my grass is green.
Yeah, I hope deer season's good this year.
I love it. I like it. It hasn't been a very hot summer compared to normal. Like last year was brutal.
Yeah, the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Every summer we have like these drought warnings that, you know, they start warning people about water in your... Man, everything's fine. The lakes are full. I mean, the price of boats is ridiculous on the lakes, but the lakes are full.
Yeah, we've still
got
some water.
Lots of people out there, and I was just down by the lake the other day in Lake Granbury. The beach was packed. I've never been to that beach.
I've only been by it.
And for some reason, a lot of people drown there. I guess because it's not real. Well, it is a lake, but it's... I guess there's a strong current in the Brazos River.
Is that what you think?
I don't know. I don't know. You'd be shocked at the number of people that go swimming there and then like don't know how to swim and they end up drowning.
I wouldn't be in it.
Well, I wouldn't either, but I mean, if you don't know how to swim, folks, yeah, I would not recommend going swimming.
Don't get in the water.
Learn swimming. It's,
you know,
important.
Where you can't drown up on the shore away from water.
Yeah, well,
that's where you don't get shark bit either.
How far inland you are. Like, what if a giant tsunami?
Well, then
comes
swimming's
after
not really going to help you.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like Michael Phelps won't get it. Katie Ledecky won't be able to outswim a tsunami.
I just saw a video, and I forgot to share it to you this morning. It was a surfer in Australia, and he got
his whole leg bit off. No.
By a great white shark.
Stop
I'm like,
it.
Man, surfing looks fun, but it just can't be worth the risk to me. They have these artificial surf places in Texas. There's one in Waco.
I will go there.
Yeah.
I'll go check that out. That would be like riding a mountain bike through the Serengeti and Lion Country.
Well, it's like,
you're like, man, it's so fun to ride right here through this desert and all this beautiful grasslands. Too bad there's monsters right here.
Well, and cats are attracted to moving things.
Yes.
Like, you never play with your cat?
Yeah, and that's why sharks like to look up, meet everything above them, right? Like, oh, I can see that up there.
I like skiing. I like snowboarding, but I'm not going to try to outrun an avalanche like you see these crazy guys doing.
Would you snowboard if they were just bare all over the mountain randomly? That would just snatch people up.
No, no.
Yet everybody gets in the ocean.
I think most people have a very misunderstanding, a very high misunderstanding of how dangerous bears are.
What gives that away? Or how about just animals in general?
Oh, animals in general, but especially bears.
Yellowstone?
Yeah.
And they get out and start messing with a buffalo, and next thing you know, they're going for a ride.
Do you think it's cartoons? Do you think it's Grizzly Adams? Like, what is it where people think that, like, these brown bear won't just
rip you apart? First of all,
mm-hmm.
Don't say Grizzly Adams, because 95% of the people listening have no idea who that is.
Well, they can Google it. I do have a birthday coming
so they,
up.
Yeah, you do, Granddad. So they don't know about Grizzly Adams. They have no idea. Like, no,
I thought that show was awesome as a kid.
The show was awesome.
Man, that dude's got, he's got the Fred Bear flannel shirt on.
The big beard.
The bear's his buddy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the Clint Eastwood. Any which way but loose.
With Clyde?
Yeah, where he has like a pet orangutan.
Like the orangutan.
I mean, that thing would rip you off.
He goes, right turn, Clyde. He just punches him.
You know, I went my whole life thinking it's orangutan, and it's not. It's like orangutan.
No, it's orangutan.
I'm with you. That's what, maybe it's a Mandela effect, because I'm like, I remember it clearly as orangutan when I was a kid.
Right, right.
I don't know.
I got something here I got to share with you.
Okay.
And y'all are going to enjoy this. We pop it up all the time with, like, military reports, right? Like infantry and army and all of these crazy reports.
Oh, like the giants of Kandahar and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Dealing with Bigfoot in the mountains here in the States. All of this stuff. So that's what I was going to run past you. The idea of djinn terrified me.
Yeah, because they're real.
Right? Like a genie that could actually be attached to something. Next thing you know, you're over there messing around where you shouldn't be. Something like that goes down.
It's
next thing you
Exorcist.
Know, you got a
djinn,
right?
The guy found that statue of Pazuzu or whatever and brought it back, and that started the whole thing. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
And these people send these people mail us objects all the time. We get them at the
PO box. And we just take them.
And I'm always like, dude, these are cursed objects.
And we just take them. Like, yeah, we'll get rid of that for you. Yeah. So this is what this story says. Is I'm a member of the United States Army, and I have a personal experience to share that comes from my deployments to Afghanistan. Due to the nature of my service, I cannot and will not share anything that will breach any level of OPSEC or InfoSec in any way, shape, form, or reveal any details that will or can be construed as such to compromise any operations myself and the other members of the U.S. military conduct on a daily basis. That being stated, here is my story. I am a U.S. Army Infantry Squad Leader, a non-commissioned officer with 10 years in the service, and I have 12 soldiers under my command in my squad, 10 soldiers and 2 non-commissioned officer team leaders. My soldiers are ranked E3 to E4 with 18 months experience at the very least, with my team leaders having 4 and 5 years experience respectively. All of us have at least one combat deployment together, with the senior of my soldiers having 2. All of us have enough experience in our service that we are absolutely confident in our abilities and skills as infantry soldiers and know what to do and how to do it given any and all combat situations we encounter. So when we were given a mission as a squad separate from our platoon, we didn't really give any thought to the nature of the orders or the fact we would be a significant distance from our platoon or any ground assistance whatsoever. Separate from any CAS or ARDI we could call on and other assets available. I received the mission, issued the WARNO. I love all these acronyms. I have no idea what they mean. Made a plan, initiated movement, gathered recon, and completed the plan. I issued the op rod and we Oscar mic'd. All the making and appearance of a usual and routine mission. Something we did daily and completed daily. And then we reached the objective. And it all went to what I can only describe as hell given form. We had vehicles that were specifically designed for being explosive resistant and armored enough to give us an edge in surviving a multitude of situations that we could come across. It was dark, and we have NVGs on, that's night vision goggles, approaching a small village of 7 buildings under cover of darkness, being as quiet as possible, ready for anything. We entered and cleared house after house and found bodies, a lot of bodies, so many it was hard to enter any dwelling without stepping on any of them. And I have never in 10 years seen anything as disturbing or as shocking as the condition these bodies were in. And the sheer number was numbing to behold. Some looked as if they were ripped or torn in half. There's no mistake or typing or description. I literally mean torn or ripped by sheer brute strength. Some looked crushed as if a ton or more of weight was slammed into them, and I mean pulped. I've run other human beings over with my 6-ton vehicle, and I know crushed when I see it. And others looked as I would expect if I were to eat a piece of raw meat with my teeth. If I had teeth like a shark or some sort of carnivore, like something had taken a big chunk off of them and kept going. And the rest looked like what I would imagine some sort of mythical monster or something with claws or teeth or sharp anything.
Aren't snow leopards, don't they live in Afghanistan?
I believe so. In the high mountains?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Yeah. But it doesn't sound like this. I mean, snow leopards aren't known to have thumbs to get a good grip to pull people apart.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never tangled with one. Never even seen one.
You've never seen a snow leopard? Well, I'm going to break it to you. They don't have thumbs. They can't open the door. You're safe in here.
maybe somebody opened it and then threw the snow leopard in.
Pushed them in. Yeah. I carry around defensive snow leopards. That'd be cool. Pitch them in like grenades. Now awesome. You're talking about it. Says we would have went through them like so much defenseless flesh at once. We finally reached the end of the village and met something I can only describe as the closest to demonic as human language can make it. And it was terrifying. Thinking about it as I type this is giving me chills, making my heart feel like it'll burst from my chest, and that any moment this thing will burst from somewhere and do unspeakable things to me before it kills me, ripping me apart like a rag doll full of blood and flesh. I still have nightmares about it. First vehicle opened up on it with a .50 cal APT, and he was going cyclic. Next thing I know, I see a 6-ton armored vehicle that can take up to 80 pounds of explosive force and come back rolling, literally fly. Not roll, not flip, fly. It landed in the middle of the village in pieces. 6 tons of armor flew 700 meters. My vehicle was next, and I have never cycled an automatic grenade launcher so fast in my whole career. I was linking belt after belt after belt, and I was unjamming it almost as fast as it jammed. I'm screaming my head off on the radio at the same time, trying to get a hold of my other vehicle. Call in Cass or Artie and ordered my squad to shoot the thing with every weapon we have, even though I know for a fact that we were all doing it anyway. And I'm still screaming. I can hear screaming and gunfire and some other sounds, like millions of voices screaming with us, with explosions and tearing metal. Absolute chaos is in control here. And I'm screaming. I'm crying. I'm praying. But then, the craziest thing happened. Everything went absolutely silent. No sound, no voices, no gunfire, no explosions, nothing. The world went mute. And after that, everything slowly came back. My alpha team leader, who climbed up to me, had to slap me hard to snap me out of whatever hellish zone I was in. My best guess is shock. But unlike anything I've heard, experienced, or watched, it took hours for me to get it together and start attempting to control the situation, get communications with LT, and come to grips. First priority was the first vehicle. We could not raise them on comms, so I went to go see if they were alive and needed any medical attention. Then I realized we didn't get a BDA on the thing we had just unloaded on. I directed my driver to get closer to the area, and I noticed something right off the bat. There was damage everywhere except for one spot, and in that spot was untouched and pristine, like it had never been subjected to all the firepower we had directed at it. Not a single impact. There was no sign of that thing anywhere, not even a footprint. I've deployed 7 times in 10 years, and I've never seen anyone or anything walk away from that much firepower, ever. I know for a fact that no human on this earth could. My 5 soldiers in the first vehicle lived, miraculously, due to the cab being reinforced, but suffered severe blunt force trauma from impact. Enough that all 5 in the vehicle were immediately given medical discharge and 100% disability a few months later. My other soldiers were all receiving the best psychological care possible. I'm undergoing psychological evaluation as well due to the report I gave to my command. The treatment given to me and my squad is no surprise. However, the way my report of the incident was handled and what happened after is very confusing and very frustrating. No more about this has been mentioned or acknowledged again. I do not care if someone believes me anymore, as every time I've asked about it and answer, and I am met with reactions of disbelief or pity and sympathy for my damaged mental state. I am even attempting to be cleared to continue my service and am forced to lie to my counselors and therapists about my progress in recovering from my experiences. I'm still haunted by this incident, and it still gives me a racing heart just thinking of it. I'm hoping that this reaches anybody else, but I ask to remain anonymous, just be referred to as Sarge. Even if you do not want to help, thank you anyway for taking the time of reading this and allowing me to send this to you, as I do not get anyone I know outside of my former squad to listen and believe. Thanks again, Sarge.
But what were they shooting at? It just said a demon.
Just like darkness, just this thing. Yeah, he never really goes into any, like, I don't know that they saw it well. It sounds like a djinn.
And it wrecked the whole town?
It's 7 buildings. The village
or whatever it was?
Yeah, 7 buildings worth. It killed everybody in this town when they rolled in there.
Well, maybe they were Taliban or somebody. Maybe they were bad, and the djinn was actually helping the U.S. soldiers get rid of these terrorists.
Or maybe, well, then why did he just come after them, too?
I don't know. Flipping trucks. Maybe it had a blood rage.
Dude, you can't trust those djinn. Those things are creepy. But there are several stories, and we've covered a bunch, and then you still get them, of people seeing stuff like this in the deserts over there.
Yeah, well, You know, the djinn is all throughout that area of the world. It's talked about, and I believe it's a real thing. I don't, you know, when it comes to demons, djinn, whatever, like, I don't tempt that stuff. You know, like, like they always talk about the Dybbuk box challenge and stuff like that. Like, why would I want to fool with spirits?
Yeah, don't do that.
What's the, I mean, there's a lot of downside. What's the upside of doing it, right? Why tempt fate?
I think people get drawn to it from the excitement. Right?
I do not.
Like, oh, and I'm like, dude, that's too big of a chance to take.
For me, it's not worth it.
No.
Life's already scary enough. No. Why would I want to tempt, you know, things from on the other side of the veil?
I don't need extra add-ons of trouble.
Check this out, Cam. Yeah. This is pretty strange. We had a listener send this in. It says, hey, Cam and Kyle.
What's up?
My name is Thomas, and I've listened to your podcast since I was about 12 years old.
Holy moly. Pump the brakes, Thomas. Now I'm feeling real old.
It was actually the first podcast I ever listened to, and it is still my number one. I'm 22 now, 10 long years.
Nice.
I hope you keep up the good work. But this email is to tell you about what I think was a face I saw one year when hunting with my father. I was born and raised in southern Middle Tennessee, on 75 acres of nothing but hillsides and woods. Dad used to take me hunting with him a lot in the holler out behind our house when I was young. I was around 8 to 10 years old when this happened. The hunting blind my father and I were in was a homemade one in the middle of the holler, with hills all around and trees everywhere. I was scanning the hillside off to the left with a pair of binoculars when I saw what at first I thought was a pile of rocks. Caught my attention, and I continued to stare at it for quite some time. But the longer I looked at it, the more I realized it looked like a face with very dull eyes staring back at me. Now, I say face because it wasn't like a human face. It was round and had deep inset, solid black eyes, but it wasn't like a human face. It had dull gray hue to its skin color, which hints why I mistook it for a pile of rocks. I spent easily a good 30 seconds staring at this face, and never once did it blink. I looked back to my dad to tell him, Dad, I think I see a face. When I pulled the binoculars back up, whatever it was gone. I spent the entire morning scanning that hillside repeatedly, trying to find it again, but never did. I've never seen anything like it after either. That's only the part of the story, though. The top of the hillside where I saw the face is on the part of our property that we call the Evergreen, as nothing but cedar trees grow up there. For many years after that, every time we would drive through there on our four-wheeler, it would feel like something or someone was staring down the back of your neck. There are also many times I'd go through there, and there would be young, healthy green trees that looked like they had been snapped near the base and laid over into the four-wheeler trail. It stayed that way up until about a year or two ago. I don't know what I saw. I don't know what was in the Evergreen, quite frankly. I'm glad I never found out firsthand. I love what you guys do. I know it's not the most interesting of stories, but I would love to hear what your guys' opinion on what you think it could have been. Keep up the great work, and good luck to you guys. Sincerely, Thomas.
Thomas saw a troll.
I don't know what he saw.
That could be a troll, right?
That is a common type of troll, is the rock troll. Mm-hmm. And it's very famous in Scandinavia. But, you know, it makes me wonder when the Vikings and stuff came over, the Norsemen, from that part of the world in the early, you know, I don't know, 12th century, 11th century, whatever it was. I wonder if maybe they brought some of that with them, the trolls and such.
Maybe there's just been trolls here.
Maybe so. That's what it sounds like to me. Either that or, see, the interesting part of the story isn't the fact that the face was there, is that it wasn't there. Because I've got, what's that, what do they call that, pareidolia, where you like see something, you're like, oh yeah, that's a buck bedded down. And it's not. You're just mind.
Sun comes up and it's just like a bush.
Yeah, but your mind.
It's a broom weed and like an old mesquite tree.
Yeah, and so your mind creates that for you. And there's certain places, just like I understand exactly what Thomas is talking about, where you're scanning an area and you'll see that same bush for the rest of the season. But every time you look at it, you're like, yeah, that looks like a deer, but I already know it's not. So if he saw a pile of rocks and it was a couple of hours later, the daylight changed, and he's like, oh, well, I know when it's this time of dusk, that pile of rocks looks like a face. But after it changes, it doesn't. But that's not what happened. He says he saw the face, looked away for a split second, went back, and it never was
gone.
There.
We have a buck bush where we hunt. that we've had for years up on top of the hill past the old house. And you can look up there at any time and you can swear, unless it's bright daylight where you can see it's a bush, you'd be like, that's a deer. It's never a deer. It's always that bush. But like you're pointing out, it changed. He looked, it was there, and it changed. Now, I guess it could be Sasquatch. It could be like maybe they're, you know, camoed up. Maybe it's just blends in well where it was at.
Yeah.
But the instantly you were talking about the color and all that stuff, I'm like, dude, that's a troll.
That does sound like a troll, right? That's pretty cool. Cool story. Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about this Mothman Revisited, right? This new wave that's come through Chicago in the last couple of years. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
New messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Yeah, man. Mothman, you know, it's one of America's most famous cryptids. You know, I don't know why, but it is. And everybody always talks about it. But one of the very first, at least, reported sightings took place near West Virginia, Clendenin, in 1966, when these two guys were out there digging in a cemetery and they saw this black figure fly over their heads. And that was the first of the what is known as the Mothman was reported.
Got the ball rolling.
Yeah, 1966. And then according to other eyewitnesses in the area, it started to pick up, the sightings did. And it was always reported as a 10-foot tall owl-like creature, but with red glowing eyes.
But it's changed. A lot of this description of it now has changed.
That's right. Yeah, not too long after
I can't say changed. They've added to it. It's right. Like it's not by itself. It's not just owl-like.
That's right. And after the cemetery sighting, that's when it was the second time it was seen was in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, when some drivers were driving down a road at night, a county road at night, and they saw it fly overhead. Then the newspapers picked it up and they started reporting that there's a handful of people that saw it near the TNT area in the town. And, you know, there was a lot of speculation. A lot of people said it was sandhill cranes. People were seeing giant owls. But it wouldn't explain the glowing red eyes, right?
No.
There was even reports of men in black showing up around Point Pleasant at the same time that all these sightings were being reported. So it makes you wonder what was going on. Now, the most famous sighting of the Mothman was, of course, on December 15th, 1967, when it was seen on top of or flying over the Silver Bridge shortly before it collapsed, and it killed 46 people. But there have been, and this is one of the most interesting things about the Mothman, because soon after the collapse of the bridge, all the sightings stopped, right? Nobody saw it again. And it's kind of like, I know this is crazy because the movie came out many years after the Mothman and probably was inspired by the Mothman, but we always talk about Jeepers Creepers.
Yep.
I remember in that show, it comes around, does some hunting, and then goes into hibernation for like 26 summers. And every 26th summer, it comes back, right?
Yeah, it's hungry again.
It's like that with the Mothman. It was seen for a period of a couple weeks, then it was never seen again. And then again, it started popping up. But it's like it goes dormant for a while. And so everybody's theorizing that the Mothman appears shortly before some terrible disaster is about to take place. What I mean is, in 1986... there was a reactor that failed at the nuclear power plant in Chernobyl, Ukraine. Everybody knows about Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. You know, originally it killed 30 people, and there's been many more deaths since that tragedy. But what most people don't know is that several days before that reactor failed, several workers at Chernobyl reported seeing a giant feathered 10-foot tall black creature that they were calling the Black Bird of Chernobyl. And many people think that it too was the Mothman. In April 2009, residents of a town called Lohuanta in the Mexican state of Chihuahua began noticing a strange creature in and around their town. And they said this was shortly before a huge swine flu outbreak.
Yikes.
Again, people think it was the Mothman. In our own state, Galveston, Texas, in August of 1900, there was a lot of sightings of a giant black bird being spotted in and around the town. And just a couple days later, September 8th, the giant hurricane devastated Galveston, killing more than 10,000 people. There's has been a few. I don't know if it's real or not, that claim that they saw the Mothman shortly before 9/11. And so it's like the Mothman, when he starts showing up, something bad's going to happen. Now, what is it? Is it a warning to people, or is all the death and chaos is an attractant and this thing wants to watch it? Like, what is it?
Well, that's what's funny is they don't report it being there after it.
Right. It's like once it happens, he's gone.
Well, he's not even there while it's happening. It's like he's there beforehand, whether he's documenting, taking, you know, reference of what was supposed to be or what before it gets erased, like he sees into the future. I don't know. Well, the reason we bring it all up, folks, is because of our buddy Lon.
Yeah.
If y'all have Netflix and you're not on Unsolved Mysteries where you can watch Lon's whole episode that he's on, you're missing out. You want to learn more and have some fun with Mothman, you can hop on there too. When you get done listening to us, you can go check out Lon.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And all that stuff. It's really, really awesome.
It's, I think, the fourth episode on the new season. Yes. It's called Mothman Revisited. Well, like we talked about, the Mothman comes and then something happens. He goes away for a while. He appears again. Something bad happens. In November of 2019, there was a truck driver who was picking up a load at the O'Hare Airport in Chicago. And he stepped away from his truck for a smoke break
when he saw
this tall bird-like man with glowing eyes. And this was the beginning of a new wave, or at least that's what it seems like, of flying humanoids of the Mothman in and around Chicago, which has now been dubbed the Chicago Wave, right? Pretty crazy.
Well, and the O'Hare Airport.
Yeah.
Like, we had a bunch of information we had Lon on. We're going to get Lon back on to cover. There's more stuff that have come out where it's been sighted. And that's what's crazy is now it's like it's right around the airport. There are a lot of sightings of them seeing this thing
right
in and around that area.
And that truck driver, that was November of 2019. So is the wave shortly before COVID?
You know, I guess it could have been.
I mean, yeah. It was just a couple months prior. Check this one out. This one comes in. It's pretty neat. It says, "Hello, I had read about these encounters of bat-like humanoids and obviously thought it was pretty fascinating. I just recently started a new job in Clearwater, Florida, where I'm delivering donuts for a major company. I deliver along a route which consists of four different stops. I drive from Clearwater to Port Richey, then to Brooksville, and then to Zephyr Hills. Couple weeks into my job, I had the night off, so another guy worked my route. And in case you don't know, Brooksville, Florida, and Zephyr Hills, Florida, both are riddled with dark roads with no street lights and just trees to the left and right side of the road. While he was driving between his third and fourth stop near Zephyr Hills, which is on Route 98 and US 301, at about 3:30 a.m., he said he saw this thing floating, Cam, stationary about 15 feet off the ground next to a tree. Now, floating.
Great.
I think of, what was it, like Brightburn. Remember the kids just floating?
Yes.
As he got closer, he realized it looked like a dark-colored humanoid in a cannonball position just floating in the air, like it was frozen. He said by the time he got over the initial shock of seeing this creature, it unraveled itself and spread out its legs and its giant bat-like wings. He didn't know what color the creature was, but he said it was a dark color or black, and it had human-like legs. And he said that at the same moment it spread its wings and legs, it flew towards his truck at an unrealistic speed. He said he almost crashed the truck in the ditch because it basically paralyzed him with fear. He said it happened so fast, he didn't get a good look at the face, but he said it was probably between 5 and 6 foot tall, and it was dark colored, and it had human legs with bat wings. He also said that about a half mile before he saw the creature, he saw a bunch of dead deer on the side of the road, like piles of deer, two separate piles of at least 4 deer. He assumes now that it was eating them. The witness said that his buddy quit the job, never did that route again, and has pretty much never talked to that guy again.
I could tell you something else that would have been brown if I'd have seen that thing unravel out in the road like that.
But what could that be?
Dude.
Something tall.
There's no explanation for it. There's no known explanation for
that. I like how it was hovering like a ball, like a pokeball.
And then just unraveled.
And then unraveled. And then flew towards it. Like, what?
All I know is that sounds like something from a great adventure. It's completely and utterly. Look, everything about these flying creatures just scream evil.
Yeah.
But we don't know, again, like we had talked about, we don't know to what level. Is it just there? Because we don't get stories of, you know, I barely survived a Mothman attack.
And that one took place in Florida.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's the Chicago wave, but then it seems like there's other things going on, too, in other parts of the country.
It's starting to spread out. Yeah, it's starting to spread out.
So is all this like a huge warning of something bad to come? Or has it just become more popular so more people are reporting it? Or maybe something really bad is going to happen. That's why they keep seeing this Mothman. But there's not a whole lot we can do about it. It's not like you can do something to change the course of history.
No. You're right.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, that is interesting. Is it just being more reported, or is it the fact that they are everywhere?
Like, I don't know. But like, remember we talked about the truck driver who saw the one at O'Hare? That was in November of 2019. Here's another one. This one is not in Chicago. It's in Tampa, Florida, but it's December 2019, which again could be a precursor to the coronavirus pandemic that we went through. It says, I had an incident in Tampa, Florida. It was in December of 2019, a winged creature sighting. Now, driving to work early in the morning, it wasn't dark, but not quite daylight. Driving around a curve on a road where I know that I'm approaching a light, it's always red and I always have to stop. For one of the only times I can remember, I somehow was the first vehicle stopped at the intersection. I knew I needed to keep an eye on the light. So I'm looking up, just waiting for it to turn green. At that moment, I just happened to catch sight of something moving along to my left. It was flying from left to right, or south to north. I won't lie, I did not get to see it for long, but in that 1 to 3 seconds, it was as clear as I could possibly have imagined. It looked like a gargoyle. That's the only way I can describe it. Something with large bat-like wings, hands crutched up tight in front. Legs kind of pulled up along the body as well. It was gliding along. The wings never flapped. Now, I don't claim to have the world's greatest eye or am an expert on all things relating to distance, but I know what it looked like. I'm certain of its size, which would be about the size of a large man. And I know it wasn't that far in front of me. I had a lot of objects in my foreview to help get a good sense of perception. Could it have been anything else other than a gargoyle? Well, of course. I'm not completely crazy. That's just what it looked like. That's the only way I can describe it, Spencer. So, you know, again, what's crazy is we talk about this all the time. A lot of these things that are seen flying, they never flap their wings.
They never flap their wings.
The sighting previously in Florida, Zephyr Hills area, the thing was floating, like motionless, frozen in time before it unfurled and flew at the truck. So, I don't know how to describe what they're seeing, but they're seeing it. And it takes many different forms.
That is so wild.
It is wild. You said you had some.
I got you one here. This is from Illinois. This actually comes from Kane County, Illinois. This happened on April 29th of 2024.
Okay.
This is that recent. It says, my name's Matt. I'm fairly skeptical and usually think there's a logical explanation, but I cannot find one from my experiences. It started about a year ago on Route 30 near Hinckley, Illinois. I can give you the exact locations if you'd like, but it's all the same. I'd say a 20-mile radius. I drive a truck for a living, and you see some strange things on the road, but that night it was something extraordinary. At around 1:30 a.m., a large branch fell from a tree and caught my attention. When I looked up, I saw it. It was a huge humanoid covered in mouse brown fur. It had clawed feet and webbing in between its legs, and bat-like wings with semi-separated arms from the wings, or maybe it was just close together. It had an elongated face. It swooped down in front of my truck and was gone. I thought, well, that couldn't have been a crane or a large bird or anything other than what I saw. The second time I saw it was a few miles away, about a month later, around the same time at night on Route 39. It looked exactly the same, but now I could tell the height. When it flew across the road, its feet could reach the fog line on the right and the middle line, about 10 feet. So it's 10 foot tall at least. Again, I tried to justify it by any means necessary. Maybe it was a bird that was closer than I thought. Maybe it was a bag flowing across the road. Literally anything but that. But again, the wings and body were well defined. I let it go thinking, nah, it couldn't be that. I'm missing something. It's just not that. After what happened today on April 29th of 2024, I can't ignore or deny something's going on. I'm a big boy, right? Like, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm 6'4", I weigh 300 pounds, I don't get scared easy. But I'm terrified, and honest to God, shaken to my core. It's uncomfortable, and I hate this. I do not want this to be real, but here this goes. When I was going to work today on McGreer Road near Caneville, Illinois, there's a small bridge that goes over a creek. When my front tires crossed over, something either came from under the bridge or swooped from my right side and must have hit my bumper. I reacted and swerved to the oncoming lane and almost lost control of my vehicle. I got a very good look at it. It was the same thing I saw about a year earlier. I corrected, and before I could realize what was happening, it came down again over my hood from right to left, and I saw it in the air. It was literally the most horrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. It came down once more over or on the roof of my car, and at that point, I hit the gas and pulled my firearm. I got up to about 110 miles an hour, and it was able to keep up and over my hood one more time. Again, it was flying maybe 30 yards above me and to my left. I started firing because I was in fear for my life. The first time I truly felt so threatened that firing my weapon was the best option. When in all honesty, I'm not very proud of. I don't say this to embellish or to heighten theatrics. I say it to show how god-awful, horrifying it was to me and how I felt. I had no recourse. I shot 12 rounds, and by the 7th or the 8th, it wrapped itself in its wings and started descending. I followed it down with 4 more rounds, and it was gone. I'm still shaking and very distraught. I'm truly upset, and it makes me feel very weak and scared. I don't care how you use this story. I'm perfectly willing to discuss what happened at any length you'd want to, because I just can't deny it was something I can't explain away. I desperately want to thank you for your quick response and letting me share this with you, Matt.
Man, see? This is a grown man. Big guy, 6'4", 300 pounds. Right?
Just a few months ago, this went down.
And I would be frightened too, but what are they saying? See, that's why I don't know that it's all Mothman, because some of the sightings, like the one I read in Florida, it was more gargoyle-like. There wasn't any feathers on the thing. Didn't have any glowing eyes.
It feels like it's morphed, right? Like it's turned into Jeepers Creepers.
Is it multiple things?
But he says it had fur.
Yeah, well, some of the reports, that's what I'm saying. Some of the reportings, it's got fur. Some of the reportings, it has feathers. Some of the reports, it's skin.
I don't know how you could get, I'm trying to think, I don't know how you could get fur and feathers at a distance mistaken.
I don't either.
You know what I mean? Like you would think if it had feathers, you would know solidly that it wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe,
like vice versa.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. Maybe
it's
different
tiny things. Feathers. Maybe it's tiny little feathers and it's not fur. I don't know. Or again, maybe they're different things. Speaking of different things.
I mean, maybe it's extraterrestrial. Maybe it's not. I mean, maybe like some of the old, we're talking like biblical stories of angels and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe they were describing something similar that they were seeing, a natural phenomenon that's been here.
Here's you one from Pennsylvania, Coatesville, Pennsylvania, bud. Lon's got a flying red-eyed horse-like cryptid.
Pegasus, a black Pegasus.
I saw the something several times as a child. This is how it starts out. You're going to like this. My parents rented an apartment in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. We lived on the third floor, and there was a fire escape around our building. In my parents' room, my mom would lean out the window to blow her cigarette smoke out, and I, being a very small kid, would always look at the goings-on of the city below, probably waiting on my dad to come home from work. So one night, I was alone in the room and looked out the window where we could have stepped out onto the fire escape, and there's this thing was to my right, about 20 foot or so from me. It was huge, tall and broad-chested. Its back faced me, and I looked in complete confusion, trying to understand what I was looking at. It turned to face me, and it had strange, sparkling red eyes. Its face was that of a horse, but shorter, and the chest was human-like, but buff. Its legs and rear end were also horse-like, massive, strong legs with hooves. Its arms were human-like, and in contrast to his large body, its tail was slendered and pointed up. This thing also had horns. When he stared deep into what felt like my soul, it snorted, like a horse when the horse exhales fast through its nostrils. You can see the steam and anger coming out of it. Instantly, it flew and ran towards me, not with its wings because it didn't have any. But I also don't think it ran using its legs to run towards me. It was more like a projection, like it used its mind to just take off like a dart into midair. After the first encounter, I'd seen it another two times. It became like a conversation just between us. I'd get this feeling it was there, then take a peek out the window just to see what I felt could verify was true. And sure enough, it would be there, back facing me. Then it would give me its signature snort, which began to feel like my warning, and when it turned to face me, it was like it telepathically telling me that I wasn't supposed to see it. It would project itself towards me until I quickly jerked my head back inside the window. It never passed the window or tried to come in. It just didn't like me spying on it, and after the third sighting, whenever I felt its presence, I just stopped looking out because it felt like I knew that it was there. I knew it wanted me to stay inside that window. Thinking about it now as an adult, I wonder if it was protecting me from a fall or from anything horrible or a horrible event that could have happened. Ed.
See, that's what I'm saying. Some of them seem like they're there as a warning, and some of them feel like they're there to help you.
Well, and
this, maybe that is the case.
Well, maybe, like the points out, happened when he was a child. Maybe as a child, like we talk about, they see these things way more.
Always. Children right? are more perceptive to stuff like that.
And maybe that's it. Is he just like, man, this kid can see me. Now this kid's never going to leave me alone. You know, I'm just trying to hang out here. And now he's messing around with all this stuff. Here's one from Alaska. A red-eyed mothman in an Alaskan village, Brad. Says, my encounter with this thing, like most people call the Mothman, was when I was 9 years old, and I remember it clearly like it was yesterday. I was walking back from my uncle's place in our village near Seward, Alaska. I was walking on the sidewalk and saw this man standing on top of my father's house, close to the edge facing west. He was all black and looked like a man. It stood about 7 or 8 feet tall. I shouted at him, but he acted like he didn't hear me. I said, "Hey, who are you?" I kept trying to get his attention. It was like I wasn't there. But when I said, "Hey, you're standing on my house. Who are you?" It looked at me for a few seconds. The face seemed like a normal person's face until it slowly opened its eyelids and I saw a red glow. Like his eyes were glowing, not red, but a glow, not like a red light, but a glow. I froze and just stared at him. He stood there looking at me for 9 or 10 seconds, looked away, jumped really high and far. I'd say he jumped about 40 foot up in the air and 70 to 80 feet away. As soon as he seemed to fall down, very large, long wings came out of his back and flapped twice. Just in those two flaps, he traveled about 100 feet and flew right over the high school. Since that day, I've never spoke to anyone about it because I thought I saw the devil. I freaked out so bad I looked out for it every day to make sure it wasn't around. That was my first encounter with the thing. I have had one more in many years. Its body was like a man's, and its face was like a man's as well. But his eyes were that made so scary and weird that those wings are also very long and very large. His whole body was all black, like not skin, but blackness was covering him. I can't explain it. I'm not the only one in my village who saw this thing, but after that, there have been many sightings here and in other villages, even to the point that the thing goes into people's houses while they sleep. That happened to someone I know. H.
Does it say again what year that happened?
No.
That sighting? See, I wonder if that was shortly or before the Exxon Valdez incident.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, it sounds so demonic. I got a pretty cool sighting that happened in Alsip, Illinois. This happened on October 26, 2018 at around 12:30 a.m. Now, the report was submitted by an older couple who work as an over-the-road team for a trucking company there in Alsip, Illinois. And they've both been driving together for over 15 years. They've been married for over 27 years. And the gentleman, of course, was the one driving the truck, and his wife was sitting there in the passenger seat. But this is what they said. It says, "We were on our way to park our truck at the yard after being on the road for 2 weeks. As we approached the railroad track crossing, we noticed something standing in the middle of the road." It says, "We popped the high beams on to see what it was, and to our surprise, it was not a homeless person. This thing looked like a large owl, as it had what looked like feathers and a flat rounded face with large eyes that reflected the LED lights on our truck. This thing appeared to lunge at us while trying to cover its eyes with its left arm. I pulled on the air horn, and this thing turned its back on us, then took a couple of steps, and then took off into the air and flew off into the night. We were just left there, sitting there, in complete shock, as we watched it disappear into the night. After a minute or two of looking to see if the damn thing would come back around, we continued into the yard. We parked our truck and walked around towards the car. As we approached our car, we heard what sounded like a scream, followed by another, and then silence. We hustled our tails to the car and left for home." Now, that's a pretty weird sighting, but not too far away, in a town called Rockford, Illinois, there was another similar sighting. It says, "If I had not experienced it firsthand, I would have probably dismissed it as fiction. Please, I assure you, this is 100% the whole story of that night. So it was a typical summer day about 5 years ago. These events took place in northern Illinois near Rockford. My friend Nick and I were cruising around in a Firebird. As the day progressed, we decided to head towards the county roads to do some drifting. Typical behavior for 16-year-olds with a sports car. This was something that we did quite often. Jump ahead 2 hours or so, and around 11 p.m., we were on a gravel road. We were in a location that was secluded, but was farmland mostly everywhere. So there were houses every so often. Now me and Nick are talking while I'm repeatedly slowing down and then applying the gas hard so I could get my vehicle sideways on this straight patch of road. The corn on the sides of the old gravel road were head height, as it was towards the end of the growing season. Anyways, I began slowing down for probably the fifth time. Only I could see the corn shaking. Nick and I both had stopped talking and were both watching the corn. I expected a group of deer to run out and cross the road, so naturally I slowed down to a very slow roll. The corn was now shaking fiercely and quickly headed towards the road. Now at this point, we were staring at the corn waiting for the expected wildlife to pass. I'm not sure how to describe this, but what we saw was frightening. The corn parted about 8 feet in front of my car. I don't know if you've seen a deer jump out of corn, but it's like a horse hop. This thing was the size of a big buck, but was completely black. Mind you, my headlights are focused right on the stretch of road and the corn area, so the whole scene was well illuminated. As it proceeded to jump out of the corn, it opened a huge set of wings and remained and took off, airborne. It flew right in front of my car and did this crazy zigzag flight pattern at an incredible pace, almost like a fly or a bug would do. After the quick zigzags, it shot straight up into the air. I mean, shot like it was placed in a cannon and blasted into the sky. Now, my Firebird was a model that had T-tops, so we both jerked our heads up, but due to my lights pointing forward, obviously, and it being dark out, we couldn't see where the creature went. I floored my car while Nick was screaming, "Go, go, go!" I drove as fast as I could while still maintaining control in the gravel road. We drove for a good 15 minutes completely quiet. The whole time we were watching around us. I don't know why, but we instantly assumed that the thing was chasing us. Now, mind you, from that moment when we started to see the corn move to when the thing flew over our car was probably only like 30 seconds. Well, we finally started to calm down, and we're now on a road that was frequented more. We can see farmers in the fields on tractors. Being that I can see other people, I started to feel safe. I decided to pull over on the side of the road and immediately say, "What was that?" My friend Nick had no answer. The only thing we could come up with was that it was the size of a deer but flew like a bat. We named the thing the deer bat. We say it was the size of a deer, but in fact, it was more humanoid shaped. It just ran out of the corn like a deer, then took off into the air. To this day, we don't know what we saw. So another crazy sighting.
The deer bat.
From Illinois. Yeah, the deer bat.
I'm digging it.
I got another one. Apparently Rockford, Illinois is really close to Chicago because this person said, "Look, I recently learned of the Chicago humanoid sightings and then about the black-winged humanoid sighting near Rockford, Illinois. This was shocking to me because I live in Winnebago County in a city called Love's Park that borders Rockford, which is 60 miles from Chicago. I, too, have seen a similar black-winged being. I was standing on the deck in my backyard late one summer night. It was August of 2004. I was stargazing, as I often do, when I was startled by the sudden furious barking of the neighbor's dogs. As I turned and looked towards the direction of the barking, it was at that moment that I saw Cam, an all-black, 7-foot-tall man with huge bat-like wings, fly across the park that borders my backyard. It then descended to approximately 5 to 6 feet above the ground. It pulled or folded its wings in slightly, then glided along the paved path that runs through the park. It continued gliding through an easement between the two houses, disappearing from my sight. Stunned by what I had just seen, I quickly ran in through the back door and out the front, stepped out on the front porch, and that's when I heard a loud screeching sound. The sound was so loud, it was coming from the thick tree line across the street from the park and yet another easement. I quickly stepped back into the house. I shut and, yes, locked the door and woke up my sleeping husband. I asked him to get up and come listen to what I was hearing. I told him what had happened. The screeching continued sporadically for approximately 5 minutes, and then it went completely silent. The afternoon of the following day after the incident, as I was walking to the mailbox, the elderly neighbor who resided in the house that the tree-lined easement borders and the backyard yelled across the street asking me if I had a minute to take a look at something strange in his backyard.
Don't fall for it.
What the neighbor showed me was his chain-link fence posts were bent down at a 45-degree angle. It was only the post closest to the tree line. He was perplexed as to what could have possibly caused this to even happen. I attempted to explain to him what I saw and heard the night before. Just as I went into detail that I saw something very large and strange flying, I got a raised eyebrow with a strange look. He told me that what I saw was a heron and that no bird could have bent those posts like that. So I quickly dropped the subject. As I walked back home, another neighbor, two houses away, yelled, "Hey, did you hear all that loud, weird noise last night? It woke me up. I thought the rainforest or something moved in overnight." To which I replied, "Yes, I heard, and I have no clue what it was. I have researched for a few months after my encounter and found nothing that would help me other than about Mothman sightings. However, nothing out there matched what I saw that night. So as time went by, it became all but a faded memory over the years, but I still wonder to this day, Aaron." Wow. another case near Chicago.
Dude, that's wild.
Illinois. It doesn't matter where it's at, though. Alaska, it can be Florida, it can be Illinois, Indiana. The sightings are odd, and they're startlingly similar.
Yes.
And I don't know what it is that people are seeing. I don't know why they're seeing them. I don't know how to approach the subject matter, because there's so many different types of flying humanoids seen. Like, there's a lot of differences.
There's all basically the exact same shapes of everything when you start talking about Bigfoot.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there's a few variances that where they talk about like three toes or maybe the height, but they're all based. This isn't that. This is almost like you're talking about, like, you get gargoyles, you get Jeepers Creepers, you get Owlmen, you get Mothmen, you get Batmen, you got deer bats.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it is, it's really, really strange. I think we're going to have Lon on.
Oh, yeah.
In a couple of days to come on and talk about it. And like Cam said before, if you go on Netflix, you watch Unsolved Mysteries, you'll see Lon's on there, and there's a lot of cool sightings on there. But let's take a break.
Yeah.
Stay with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I like the strange flying humanoids.
Would you be down to see one?
Yeah, I would. My brother used to be obsessed with flying humanoids, but it wasn't like the Mothman type. He was infatuated with the ones that look like a flying Power Ranger. No wings, no nothing. Like, it was almost like a suit. In Mexico, he was obsessed. They called them the witches.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, there was a lot of sightings in South America and Central America. And there was a few in Mexico, but, you know, I don't know what those. It is. But it was
like those old Japanese cartoon or old Japanese movies with like the robot guy flying through the air.
Oh, Ultraman.
Ultraman. That's exactly
what it was
it
like.
It looked like Ultraman.
It always makes me think of like the Sonero Aero Club and all that. I want to believe that there's a group of super nerdy DIY nerds, scientists that are making these suits kind of like Iron Man, right?
Yes.
And they have developed this technology to fly these suits around. I don't know, though. It is odd. What the heck are these people seeing? There's lots of film. You can go on YouTube and find hours of just videos of people filming these flying humanoids.
Well, they look like they're just standing up there in the air, floating around like the
Brightburn, like I was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, are they ever going to make a sequel to that?
Dude.
Because the first one was good.
I wish they would have, but I think they've dropped the ball on it. They got too many remakes to make, bro. Come on. You can't stick to original ideas. What kind of stupid idea is that?
I'd like them to make another Spider-Man because, you know, I'm not familiar with the story enough.
Here we go. Speaking of stories and good movies and movies that they're going to add to, per Peter Jackson, listen to this. I know you like to strange and unusual things, Kyle. How about a Gollum encounter?
Yeah, who doesn't like a good Gollum encounter?
My girlfriend was the one that noticed them first as she was shining a flashlight around and saw not one, but two sets of yellow eyes 30 foot from us up on the hillside peeking around a rock at us. Now, this all took place in a little off-roading area late one night in New Mexico. So she told me to stop and to look, and that's when I saw them as well. We sat there for about 20 seconds looking at them. And then one stepped out and started slowly making steps towards us. My girlfriend motioned for me to leave the area, and as we did, she said they started moving quickly towards us. After whipping a quick U-turn and punching it back down the trail, my girlfriend suddenly said, "What is that?" And I looked in the rearview mirror and saw a bright flash of light come from behind her. I asked my girlfriend what it was because she just looked behind us the whole time. And said a bright ball of light just shot up into the sky from their direction and disappeared behind the clouds. We were both freaked out, and even though I had my gun on me, I was still scared. I still think about it from time to time, overthink the situation, and scare myself just thinking about it. Now, here's the other weird story, that 3 months ago, I woke up about 2:30 in the morning, went to the kitchen to get a drink, and as I turned the corner in the kitchen, a bright flash of light hit me, and all of a sudden, I felt confused and proceeded to go get a drink and then go back to my room. As I lay down, I looked at my phone and noticed it was 4:05 in the morning. I sat there trying to figure out what had just happened and how 2 hours had just been lost. I still feel lost for what had happened that morning. So what she reports seeing is something that looks like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. That's what she reported seeing, these creatures come out from behind these rocks. It sounds like you stumbled upon like some aliens just chilling.
Yeah, it does.
And then they
vibes.
Were like, oh, wait a minute. Well, go ahead and jot down the number on the back of that Jeep. We're going to go visit them later.
Yeah, it's a Jeep thing. You wouldn't understand.
I mean, I wouldn't get it, right? If you can read this, turn me back over.
Wasn't Peter Jackson supposed to be coming out with another video on Prime or something?
Oh, they're doing I don't know about that, but they're supposed to be doing some more Lord of the Rings stuff.
Like, when is that supposed to drop?
I don't know. You have to ask Peter. You got his number.
Yeah. I wish I did. I'd go do some chamois hunting out in New Zealand.
Word.
You know what I'm talking about? What's
I just
that?
Want to go fish.
Tar hunting.
Tar and go fish. New Zealand looks amazing. And I want to go see where they film Broken Wood Mysteries because that's what kind of guy
I am. I don't know what that is.
You don't need to know.
Is that New Zealand crime show you watch?
Yeah, it is.
Cam uses his VPN to watch crazy shows from all over the world. I don't have time. Besides, I think they're going to hack into my stuff. You know,
yeah, I like to watch crazy, ridiculous. Here's what it is. I never thought I would be that guy, but I like to watch campy crime shows from other countries because I'm so fascinated by the fact that nobody carries a gun. Nobody talks back to the law. Like, if you watch like crime shows here, right? Like, I go back to like Hill Street Blues from the 80s, right? Or what was the one Rick Schroeder was in? That was another good rough one. You go to watch that one, and then you go watch something like Midsommar Murders from the UK, or you watch Brokenwood from over there in New Zealand.
I don't even know what any of these he's talking about.
They're so nice. The cops are so nice. People will tell them to get bent, slam doors in their faces, and they just like, well, I guess we'll just have to talk to them later. I'm like, you do that around here, you're going to get rubbed around in the dirt.
Yeah, just watch Live PD, or what is it called now? Now they've changed the name of it.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
On patrol.
That's what it is. Yeah, you can go on.
Yeah,
like,
don't slam your face the door. Yeah. So I just enjoy watching those crime shows, some other parts of just how they portray of how it's done.
I'm just shocked at all the times I see people get pulled over for the dumbest things and have, like, I don't know, a good 50-year sentence in prison worth of drugs in the car. Oh. It's like, look, I'm not a drug runner, but I would do this. I would check, make sure your turn signals work. I'd make sure your license plates and your tags are registered.
You're like a sane individual.
Just like, are you, don't have a legal tint. Like, don't give them any reason. And
so
then
what
don't,
we're saying, folks, is anytime you see Kyle driving, go ahead and stop him.
Yeah, you can. My stuff's all in check. And then they get the attitude. It's like, I've seen people on there, like, completely, everything checks out, but then they get an attitude and the cop starts getting curious. Next thing you know, they got the canine out there and they're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's like, if you just would have, just be polite, move on your way, you would have been gotten away with it.
Aren't
I don't know.
You afraid of incarceration? I'm terrified of it.
Right. That is
so. There you
crazy.
Go.
Speaking of crazy, you got anything crazy planned for the rest of your week?
I don't think so. I think this is going to be a pretty calm week. I'm feeling pretty good. U.S. won a few medals in archery. I'm all right with that. I'm feeling good about it.
I got you. My birthday's coming up on the 9th.
I wasn't going to bring that up, man.
You're so old. I don't think we're doing anything. I hope we're not. My wife might have something planned. My brother's birthday's the day after on the 10th. So happy birthday.
This is the week run where we start with Monty.
That's right. Yeah,
and then
we start
with Diamond Dave's next, and then you, and then LP. We got 4 birthdays in a row once it starts there with Monty.
Yeah, crazy.
That's the Neanderthal Fight Club, if y'all want to check that out.
Oh, that's right.
That's
him. I see
him.
He's got, and there's some big, when does the Craig Jones Invitational take place? Isn't that soon?
That's like 2 weeks.
And the Abu Dhabi as well.
Yeah, the ADCCs, all of that's in like a couple of weeks.
We got
some good stuff coming up.
I got to make sure my Flow Grappling app is up to
It's good to go. I already checked. We're good to go on that. But hey, the Craig Jones is all on YouTube.
Yeah, I know. He's giving away for free.
Yeah.
Which is even better.
Speaking of YouTube, we've got a whole new video setup we're fixing to start dropping on y'all, where you're going to get to actually see us as we record these shows doing video footage.
Yeah, that might detour them, though.
Yeah, you might not like it.
You get a face built for radio.
That's true. We may have to do it filming, and then we have to cut it out. Yeah, it's just going to look like two old fat guys sitting behind a desk.
If you have any cool stories about flying humanoids or anything else you want to share with the listeners and Cam and I, please do not hesitate. You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD. If you want more of Expanded Perspectives and you'd like to help out the show, don't forget about our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/expandedperspectiveselite. You can sign up over there, $5 a month, and you'll get access to extra shows, extra content, and for right now, the entire back catalog.
Yep.
Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsor, AG1. If taking care of your health is important to you and you don't want it to be complicated, replacing multiple health supplements like vitamins, multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and other intense things with just one simple scoop, then you guys need to check out AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/expanded. That's drinkag1.com/expanded. Yes, Cam?
It's what we like.
It is what we like. Thank you for including me in the advertisements. Also, if you don't like advertisements, Expanded Perspectives over on Patreon, Expanded Perspectives Elite is ad-free, too. So
yep.
That's another selling point. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Thank you for already the early birthday wishes. I appreciate it. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.